I wanted to thank you again for the support that you've given us during this time after the wreck. I was very much aware. I had a comfort and a keen awareness of the prayers of the saints, really all through it, but especially in the emergency room. And it's really kind of hard to express. I didn't have any kind of feel like the Holy Spirit was coming down upon me, but I did feel very, very good and very comforted because I knew that there were people praying for me all over. I thank you very much for the support. I mean, everything from the cards and calls and the food and the contacts. I appreciate you very much. I feel very fortunate that, unlike having leg trouble here a year ago and holding on to that for about a year, that this was indeed, as the doctor said it was, just a bad bruise. I've got a knot the size of an egg on my shoulder where the seatbelt came down across me. But I never had a bruise, not a slight bruise, except on my right knee where it hit the dash. And so I feel so fortunate. It's nice to know that you have people that love and care for you. And it does help a tremendous amount. The sermon I'm preaching this morning has to do with choices. I thought about entitling it "Your Way." Have it your way, really. Having choices. Life is about choices. I've preached other sermon on choices. This one's it's not one remade. It's completely new, at least to me. But you know as well as I do that life is indeed made up of choices. We make choices every day as to how we're going to live our lives and what we're going to do. There's no doubt about it that some of the choices we make cause us a lot of heartache and can separate us from God. But just because we've made bad choices in the past, that does not mean we have to continue making those choices. We can look to God and the Word of God, and through prayer we can develop wisdom and seek and ask for the things which are good for us, and I mean good for us according to the will of God. You know, we really choose to follow God, to do things His way, to follow His way, or we choose to go our own way and follow our own path. Is it God's way or is it my way? We need to obey the warnings that we find in the Scriptures and follow God very closely. You know, those signs are out there for a reason along the road. Pay attention to them. It may save your life. We need to realize that if we'll listen to God, that He cares and loves us so much, and He will lead us right to heaven. We're already in the arms of the Lord. Praise the Lord, we have God with us. Very comforting to know. The presence of the Lord is a wonderful thing at all times. I remember being in such pain sitting there in the truck that I didn't get out. I really thought it drove a bone through my chest. I didn't think it was a heart attack, but I hurt so terribly. But I can remember saying a prayer, and I can remember it was just a wonderful thing because just shortly I was impressed with how quickly they came and to take care of us, as he took my blood pressure, it was 117 over 70 or something like that. I mean, he said, "Man, you're not worried about much, are you?" And I said, "I'm alive." But anyway, it was a great feeling. And then, of course, they do an EKG right on the spot. And he said, "That looks pretty good, too." And I thought, well, the only thing I've been worried about is I thought the truck was on fire because of that smoke from the airbags. And I was very worried for a little while about getting Frankie out of the truck. But beyond that, I felt there that day like I feel many times, most every day of my life, as I pray. I think, God loves me. God's way. Let us follow God. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. I hate the false ways. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. We're very familiar with that verse. But isn't it very comforting to know that if we will look to God and follow God, that we'll not have to go through all the hardships that many in the world have to suffer? Christians suffer. I mean, I'm an example of that happens. But well, we can have a peace of mind and a good life even when things are difficult and very hard. But we have to follow God. We have to trust Him and love Him, respect Him. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. God can make a simple person look wise if they trust in Him and confide in Him through prayer and they look to His word. Or we can go our own way. Full steam ahead, with the pedal to the metal. Just go as quickly as we can in our own way, seeking nothing but our own self-satisfaction and pleasure. And we can run headlong into much danger and really, in the end, in much heartache. Everyone has seen the Burger King advertisements. I mean, it's been around forever and it's had basically the same ad forever. What that is, right? Yeah. Have it your way. Have it your way. That's actually from the Burger King there by UAB. Terry was good enough to snap that shot for me. Not that she was stopping in for a Whopper or anything. But have it your way. And you know, when it comes to burgers, that's kind of nice. I mean, you know, I like those Whoppers. But when it comes to life, When we're so selfish and self-centered and we're focused inwardly, we really don't have room to look toward heaven. We don't have room for God. It's only ourselves that we're thinking about. And that's a rather selfish. And it ends up being a lonely, miserable existence. You know, you've seen the expression, you've heard the expression and probably seen it on bumper stickers, attend the church of your choice. That's very popular. And it's not all bad. There are those, I mean, many just look at that and say, well, you know, you ought to serve God, period. Attend the church of your choice. But there's a side of that that is so wrong. It is really wrong. Because the church has to do with God. And it's God that would have us to worship Him according to His will. That God would have us to live by Him and for Him and with Him and in Him. And that means it's not so much our way, but we're thinking of the Lord as we think about the church. The church is not centered around me. I become my own God. I become my own idol. And I think that's what has happened in America by and large. Folks are looking for themselves and only for themselves. And not only what can I get out of it, because we all want to go to heaven. We all want to be forgiven. We all want Jesus. But they're looking for something that is going to take care of their recreational and social needs. And they're not really so worried about understanding God and learning to love God and to grow closer to God. That's not really the concern. It's, I want a church that makes me feel good and makes me happy. It's good being happy. But really, true happiness only comes when we learn to bend our will according to the dictates of the will of God. Let God rule us. Only then are we going to find that we have become happy, that we have become the kind of people or person who is content and not miserable and always thinking about what I do not have, but rather we think about what we do have and how great the God of heaven is. When you're talking about man's way, what a great verse. There's a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's things, There are so many people who are very sincere. Things just seem, they feel right. But unless we trust in God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Unless we trust in God, in the end, we just have ourselves. There's a way that seems right. It just feels right. And I just like this. Well, it's because we have learned to love ourselves instead of loving God. Let us look to God. Through your precepts, I get understanding, and I hate every false way. God's Word teaches us what's right and what's wrong. You ever look at a people and say, how in the world can they think that that is okay? Well, it's because their parents think it's okay. Their grandparents thought it's okay. Their friends think it's okay. Everybody around them have the idea, well, this is all right. This is normal and decent and proper. And so they're not educated in the way of God. There's a lot of things today that I would never do that would be so shameful to me that I once did and participated in before I became a Christian, and they didn't bother me to do them. Things change, habits change. Why? Because we become educated and our conscience becomes educated. And we can see things through God's eyes. Do you realize that that's what happens as you study the Bible? You begin to think as God thinks. Now, I don't mean you're ever going to be as bright as God, but you will start to think as God thinks because those are His thoughts. When you open up your Bible, those are God's thoughts that you're looking at. And God's way is plainly revealed. I hate every false way. We must remember that Jesus is the only way to God and heaven. When you're talking about God's way, my way, remember that only the way of the Lord. I am the way, Jesus said. I am the truth, I am the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. There's no other way. It's either Jesus or we're lost. It's either Jesus Christ or we have no God in our hearts. There is no kind of love or peace or comfort that has any lasting value at all unless we have the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way. I'm not just the way to be forgiven, but I'm the way to know how to live your lives to its fullest. So you can be the kind of person that has confidence. It's based in God. That has assurance. It's based in the Lord. That knows what's right. It's based in the Spirit of God. That I'm the kind of person that learns to love because God has taught me how to love. And I'm the person who learns to trust because I learned that trust by walking with a God who never, ever, ever lets me down. The God of the Bible. Have Jesus as the way of salvation. I must also accept Jesus as my Lord, as the way of truth. I must accept Him not only as my Savior, but as my Lord and Master. You'll never have Jesus save you unless you're willing. Fail as often as you might, but unless you're willing and you're giving your life to serve Him. He's your Lord. You're willing to forego your own will and desires, your own wants, to follow Jesus Christ. And as time goes by, you're going to find that your will become very similar to His as He begins to move into your heart and your mind and your life more fully and completely. You know, God's ways are looked upon as foolish. By the most of the world and most of America, the ways of God are foolish. They have some idea of what God is and how God would have me to be. And sometimes it's correct, but many times it's as far from the truth as it could possibly be. I am the way. You may not see it, but trust me. Look into my word and be prayerful. When we look to God, then we'll come to the point we'll see how great and intelligent a being He is and how His Bible, His Word, makes a lot of sense. But until that time, the things of God will be foolish. I think, well, that doesn't make sense. That's outdated. That's old-fashioned. How can that be so today? Well, you come to know God, and you come to respect His Word. Examples of those who are having their own way. They're having their own way in spite of what God has revealed very plainly in His Word. In Romans 1 and verse 27, and Keith read some of these verses today. He read enough. I'm not even going to go ahead and read some of them I had my Bible open to. Just look at Romans 1, 27. The men leaving the natural use of the woman, they burn in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. The world says homosexuality is okay. And some, as Keith said, well, you know, I don't practice homosexuality, but I will support, I will defend those who want to be homosexual. I'll defend the right to be such. They're really saying it's okay, it's right, it's just not right for me. What a change that is from 20 years ago in America, where now today, have it your way means it you need to accept and defend those who are homosexual, and you need to compare those who would dare to say it's wrong, that it's sin. You need to compare those to people who are racist and think that whites are superior to blacks and all other races ought to be dominated. They ought to be slaves. That's what they're comparing. That's the comparison that's made. Well, it's too bad that racism existed years ago and it still exists today. And by the way, that racism today in America flows both ways. It flows both ways. There are not any more whites that have a bad attitude toward folks who have a different skin color than those who have a different skin color resent whites. We need to realize we all come from the same God, that God loves us all and He would have us love each other. And instead of saying there is no difference, we need to believe it and live it. We need to love our brother, and it doesn't matter how light or dark he is or she is. Homosexuality being compared to racism is not valid. God says it's wrong for men to have men or for women to have women. God says it's wrong. If He did not declare it to be wrong, there wouldn't be anything wrong with it. But He has declared. Very plainly He has declared what's wrong. And we need to respect Him and respect His Word. We're following God when we say that it is a sin to be homosexual. It doesn't mean you can't be forgiven, but it just means you're going to have to change and mold your life around the way of God instead of doing what you like and what makes you feel good. Follow God. Have it your way? No. Have it God's way. Materialism is the age-old sin that gets between just multitudes of Christians, as well as the world in general, but multitudes of Christians and God. Materialism, covetousness, the love of things. And James, the Lord's brother, said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. This is pure religion. Serve and help and care for others. Be willing to share what you have. Look at what God has blessed you with. Look at your talents and especially look at your wealth. Look at your life and all that you have, and it is much. And think about the needs of others. That's pure religion. And the passage is primarily talking to individuals. It's not directed to the church per se. It's telling me, Rob, you need to care about people. You need to realize how important it is to help people, to share with people. God put us here to prepare ourselves for heaven. And to do that, we have to love Him. And we have to love others. Love God. And love our fellow man. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have opportunity, therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially those of the household of faith. We have a special responsibility to our brothers or sisters in Christ. We make up the family of God, but we need to care for anyone and everyone, whatever their faith or lack thereof. We need to learn to love people and to care for people and to share what we have, to do what we can for the glory of God in all ways. And when you're thinking about the Good Samaritan and what made the Good Samaritan good was his willingness to share. To share what he had. Instead of walking around and going on the other side of the road away from the person who was injured and in need, who is my neighbor? The Pharisee said. Who is it that I have responsibility to help? The Good Samaritan, Jesus said, is an example of someone who understood who it is that I'm to help. Who do I extend my heart to? Who do I reach out to? And of course, he helped him. He helped the one in need. Yeah, I don't think there's any consideration of what his skin color was or what his nationality was or whether it was a man or a woman. I don't think that was the primary consideration. I think it was, he needs my help and I'm going to help. It's just a heart. Instead of being centered around the accumulation of things, it's a heart that's centered around sharing, caring for others. It's an expression of the heart. The Apostle John said, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. Materialism draws us to the world, and it will make the world our God. God wants to sit on our throne, the throne of our heart. He wants us to love him. Another example of have it your way versus having it God's way is being faithful unto death or having a cheap and instant religion. Why do so few turn to the Lord? Why is it so few people believe and are baptized into Christ? Why so few? And then why are there so many today who are baptized into Christ, who become Christians? Why do a great percent of them, the greater percent of them by far, when you compare it to those who remain faithful, why do so many, they're baptized, they're faithful for a while, and they fall away? Why is that? Because many want their religion to be like fast food. They want it for what they can get out of it. They want it their way. It's not, they don't learn to realize this is for God and my life is given for God. It's what about me? Why aren't they helping me? Why don't they love me? Why don't they talk nice to me? Why don't they encourage me? Why don't they give to me? Why don't they make me their God? It's selfishness. Instead of thinking, how can I glorify God and how can I help others? Isn't that, after all, the way of Christ and even the way of the Good Samaritan? Isn't it? Have it your way? No. Have it God's way. Have it God's way. The word of God says, be thou faithful. Jesus said himself, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Some are not even faithful enough to get out of bed on Sunday morning. They'd rather sleep in. They have to work hard all week. And what are they working? They're working a job that God blessed them with. They're living in a country that has milk and honey to spare that God has blessed them with. Probably everybody in the church should have to go over and spend a few weeks in Mozambique with Steve. And especially if Steve would be good enough to take him over during the flood where they can have to walk out of their shoes. Really, I really think it'd be good because then we could see the world instead of just seeing, man, how lucky we are, how blessed we are, how fortunate we are, how good we have it. And we can see that God is blessing us. We have a lot to be thankful for, and we have a lot to live for. Be thou faithful unto death. When we marry God, when we become the bride of Christ, a part of the bride of Christ, we're making a vow. I will be with you, the Lord, as long as I live. I'll be there through thick and thin. I'll be there in sickness, and I'll be there when I die. It's till death do us part. In Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower, when the disciples didn't understand, and Jesus is explaining that parable to them, he showed that some that are believers, that are baptized into Christ, that become believers anyway, they're going to fall away. And he even says why. He who received the seed, remember that's the word of God, that and it fell on stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he doesn't have any root in himself. His roots haven't grown yet. He hasn't been Christian long enough to have a root system that can support him and bring up the water and nourishment from the soil. And so what happens? But endures only for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, then immediately he stumbles. He talks about others who are like those who are choked out by weeds, the cares and riches of the world. They become Christians, but then they quit. They give up. Why? Because they don't have any roots. They're not in it to be strong, to be helping others, to serve God until death. They're like a spouse that gets married, and it's totally infatuation. And they're just completely enamored with this person's looks and personality. And then they're married, and things at times can be difficult. Life is hard, and even married people have hardship. And one of those great hardships is called children. And you find out what life is really about. And it's not easy. And then they give up. Our marriage to the Lord, our dedication to God, our confession, our proclamation of Jesus as the Christ is saying, Lord, I'm going to be there. You can count on me. I'll always be there. I'll always be with you. I was looking at what other churches have, and I want you to understand for every one of these teams or ministries, they have a minister. So they've got a different minister for all. It's not just a youth minister or a song minister anymore. This is one church. They've got a worship team, and they've got a minister for that. They've got a children's ministry, a youth ministry, men's ministry, women's ministry, widows and widowers ministry, and again, all the ministers that go along with that. Coffee fellowship ministry. If I wasn't a Christian, I'd be wanting to be in charge of that one. Sunday morning, set up duty team. A lot of these things are good, but to have all of these ministers and ministries, in a way, is just a way to pass the buck and to have somebody else do the job that you can do. Have somebody else be totally and completely involved that may be more capable than you, so you don't have to do the best you can. When God is wanting each of us, every single one of us, to do the best he can, she can, to serve him and to serve others. God wants us all to be ministers. He wants us all to give. He wants us all to be concerned about the widows. He wants us all to be concerned about the visitors. He wants us all to be concerned about each other. We're all ministers. Minister is a servant, a bondservant, a slave. God wants us to serve him through Jesus Christ and not try to pass the responsibility on to others. Have it your way? No. Have it God's way. Have it his way. Serve him. Give yourself for him. You may accomplish things that you can only dream of because you are able to reach people that maybe someone who is much more capable in a lot of ways can't reach. You're unique and you're special. And I say that with all sincerity. God does not make junk. Every person is going to be able to do something that is unique and special that others are just not going to be able to touch. There's going to be something or somebody. Everyone needs to do things God's way. And God's primarily is a way of service and sacrifice. We must love God enough to stay with Him all the way through life, no matter what may come our way. That's the way of the cross. That's the way of God. And that's the way of salvation. If we can help you in any way, we would encourage you. We don't want you to leave here without God. If we in any way can pray with you or for you, if you're in need of accepting the Lord and expressing your faith and being baptized, whatever your need is, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.